A brief word of introduction, I suppose, before we begin. My name is Father Ryan Sliva. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm a parish priest in the western hills of that little tiny state, nowhere near Boston. We're in the nice part. Any case, my sister and her family recently moved into the parish a couple months ago. I'm simply here visiting them, and so I'd like to thank Father Smith and the clergy of the parish, and indeed the whole parish, for giving me an altar to say my daily mass on, and a kind welcome, so I'm very grateful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Last evening at Vespers, priests and deacons at their breviaries and religious in their monasteries sang one of the most exquisite hymns we have in the church's tradition, the Urbs Jerusalem Beata. It's a hymn we don't say or sing very often, but last night that was the first text that was put on the church's lips as we prepared for this feast day. What I'm not going to do this morning is do a line-by-line analysis of that at hymn. It's rather long and involved, but what I would like to do this morning for our meditation is simply take two images out of that hymn and use them as a way to understand what you and I are doing right now. These two images, these two liturgical images from this ancient hymn capture the meaning of the day. But before I do that, I'd like to remind ourselves, too, what you and I are often very attentive and jealous about keeping the doctrinal truths of our faith and the moral truths of our faith. We must do this. Something we sometimes forget to do because we're busy with so other things, but one of the things we should also do is try to appreciate the great poetry and the great power of the imagery that's contained in our liturgy. These two teach us things. So our dogma teaches us things, and our moral teachings teach us things, but also the simple poetry of our liturgy does that. So that's kind of my angle this morning. So the first image that I'd like you and I to think about this morning that this ancient hymn gives us is the image of a beautiful city, such as you and I hear described in the last book of the scriptures, the Apocalypse. The hymn says that the walls of this city stand tall and are made of the purest gold. The gates of this city cluster and sparkle with gemstones and pearls. Again, we're building an image. And then angels stand upon the ramparts and the towers of this city. It is a city of peace. So for all of this, the author of this hymn wants us to make the following connection. He wants us to see, because he explicitly says in the hymn, that the shining beauty of the picture of this city that you and I have in our minds is a symbol of all of the merits of the saints. You and I can't see the merits of the saints because they're a spiritual thing, but this city is trying to give us some appreciation of what spiritual value, what spiritual power the merits of the saints have by picturing this image. So the shining beauty of this heavenly Jerusalem is all of the goodness and grace of the saints. Now, you and I know that All Saints' Day is behind us, of course, but we're always thinking about the saints. So my first point this morning is simply to say that the beauty that you and I are supposed to picture in this heavenly Jerusalem that we are celebrating is, in fact, an image of what grace is doing at this hour in you and me. In all of our churches, wherever the sacraments are celebrated, and wherever the faith of Christ is kept whole and entire, whenever we do that, as you and I are trying to do right now, and every Sunday, and every day, When we live the Christian life, something good and lasting and holy is being accomplished. That's not news to you. You already know that, but the liturgy today is reminding us that this is not wishful thinking. This doesn't just sort of maybe happen. This is the liturgy assuring us that this does happen when we keep the Catholic faith. You and I are part of this beautiful city that Christ is trying to form. You don't have a choice about it, actually. I mean, you do if you want to sin big and lose your soul, but otherwise you don't have a choice about it. That's my first point this morning. The liturgy wants you and me to be sensitive to fact that you and I have a glorious, beautiful place in the city that Christ is trying to build. You and I need reminding of that because we forget. That's the first image. That's my first point. You and I are part of this thing we call the church. And that's a big deal. But there's a second image that this hymn also gives us. The hymn that I'm mentioning also describes the process whereby this happens. How does this city get built? The city just doesn't come out of nowhere. It gets built somehow. And this, the hymn describes. It is by many blows with the hammer and chisel that the stones are shaped. There's nothing dainty about stonemasonry. It is hard, violent work. Once these stones are carefully prepared, then the divine architect fits them in place. And again, the construction takes a little violence, a little exertion, or a lot. It takes pressure. These stones of this building, of any great cathedral, those stones are held there by immense pressure and immense force. The Gothic cathedral is a miracle of engineering physics, of how it stands together, and it's all about weight and power. So here, too, is another classic image of the Christian life. St. Paul just told us, brothers and sisters, you are God's building. But nevertheless, quite frankly, sometimes it hurts to be God's building. The ancient hymn alludes to this. Again, our imperfections have to be chiseled and polished away. A kind of sacred tension keeps the stones of the Catholic people together. Thus, the spiritual suffering you and I undergo is a normal part of the Christian life. If you and I are members of this church, like I said in the first part, if we are this beautiful image of grace, please God, well, we get there by violence. It is by violence that our Lord drove the impurities out of the temple, and it is by violence that he builds us up in the Christian life. So if you feel that violence, that tension and pressure in your spiritual life, there is something not wrong, but something rather right. And you and I have to keep these two images in our hearts and our minds at exactly the same time. The beauty about what is going on in your soul and the suffering whereby that takes place. There is not one without the other. I move toward a conclusion. Today, it is true, you and I are celebrating the dedication of one church in particular, the Lateran Basilica, the mother of all churches in the Roman West. But in reality, what you and I do right now is to celebrate the whole church and our place in it. Think on that. Think well on that. That you have a place in the church, that you have a place in this eternal thing that the Savior is about. If you can hear that without a certain sense of gratitude. However, this one magnificent church that you and I are celebrating is proxy for the church Catholic on earth and in heaven, in your homes, in this parish church, in my parish church, wherever the church is. So at times, dear friends, it is necessary to set aside all of our particular concerns, even for just a moment, simply to bask in the beauty and the sturdiness of the church. The Catholic Church is sturdy and rugged and beautiful, and she will always be that way, and we have a place in her. Christ has done a great thing in building her. You are in her. And we cannot afford to let this day pass, or any day pass, without being grateful for that fact. May the prayers of the Mother of God carry us onward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God love you.